In 1963, some 250,000 people gathered in our nation's capital, Washington, D.C. Martin Luther King stood before them that day to make a speech. He was making an appeal to end the racial injustices that his people had had to endure. Here is a part of what he said that day. I say to you today, my friends, even though we face the difficulties of today and tomorrow, I still have a dream. It is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream. I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. I have a dream that one day the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. His speech moved the nation, and it helped bring about some much needed reforms. As much as I agree with the message that he brought that day, to remedy the social injustices, I recognize there is a much higher cause, and that is the cause of the kingdom of heaven. I wish we lived in a better world. I would love to see racism end. The abuse of children, the hatred, the wars. I would love it if we lived in a world where all that was gone. Well, Jesus said in John 18 and 36, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from hence. You see, there is a cause far greater than the causes that people are fighting for in this world. As just as those causes may seem, as worthwhile as they may seem, there is a kingdom that is not of this world. The song says, far above this world's confusion, walking close by Jesus' side, leaning on his loving bosom, is the church, his chosen bride. Martin Luther King had a dream, but Jesus had a dream too. Jesus looked down from heaven and he saw a world in trouble. He looked down and he saw people with broken lives. He saw broken marriages. He saw broken hearts. And Jesus had a dream that things could be better. Jesus looked down from heaven and he saw people held as captives in sin. And he had a dream of liberation for those people. He saw people that were enslaved to things that were far worse than being on a plantation in the South in 1860. Jesus looked down and he saw people that needed to be liberated. Let us read in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Second Timothy 2 and 26, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. People that have been captured and put into the most cruel slavery, the slavery of sin. Jesus saw that, and he had a vision of something better for those people's lives. Let us read in Luke chapter 2. Luke 2:11, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you that ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. What a vision. Peace on earth. Peace in the Middle East. Peace in Ukraine and Russia. Peace on the streets of our cities in this nation. Peace in marriages. Peace in men's hearts. Oh, what a vision. So much more important than which nation dominates the world. So much more important than whether or not life is fair to you or to me. Whether or not people are treating me right or discriminating against me is if I have peace in my heart. And that's why Jesus came. Jesus stood in the synagogue one day and he read the fulfillment of the prophecy of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 1, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. Jesus looked down from heaven, and he saw people that were mourning, people that were in trouble in their lives. Blessed are they which mourn, for they shall be comforted. Verse 3, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give to them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Charles Naylor was a Reformation pioneer, and he also had a dream for those that were mourning in Zion, and he wrote this song. Thy children are gathering home. With joy they are gathering home from all the divisions in which they were scattered. Thy children are gathering home. False shepherds divided and scattered the flock, and hirelings ruled over them for gain. But back to their fold on Mount Zion's fair height they come to forever remain. To unity, glorious, rich, and complete. One faith and one body, one Lord. One way and one Spirit. One hope and one God. They come at the call of His Word. Oh, what a beautiful picture. When we look out over the religious world today, when we see the confusion, the corruption of the churches today, oh, what a beautiful dream that this man had. Sectarian walls shall no longer divide. False teachers shall lead them no more. True pastors shall feed them on heavenly food. Their sorrows and sighings are o'er. Verse 4, and they shall build the old wastes. They shall raise up the former desolations. They shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. And strangers shall stand and feed your flocks. And the sons of the alien shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. That sounds like a life of luxury to me. To have strangers come in and be your servants, take care of the crop, take care of the vineyard, do whatever you ask them to do. A life of luxury. This is a spiritual picture of this dream of the spiritual experience that we can have. Jerusalem has been a symbol of the church, and Jerusalem has been attacked, you know how many times? 52 times. And it was captured and then re-liberated 44 times. That's quite a track record, isn't it? Twice it was destroyed. Wouldn't that be discouraging? The place that you had put your hopes, your dreams, the center of your spiritual worship, and for it to be laid to waste. Let us turn to Psalms 137 and verse 1. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, yea, we wept, when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof, for there they carried us away captive, required of us a song. They that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion's. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? And if I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. If I do not remember thee, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. If I prefer not Jerusalem above my chief joy. Zion is a spiritual symbol of the church. And it is something that should be so dear to us. How can you require mirth of us? If we are in a place of confusion, if we are not in the city of God, what are we going to do if the city of God has been destroyed? Do we give up? If we are isolated and separated in all these different religious confusion places, do we just give up hope? Or do we have a vision of going back and rebuilding Zion? Nehemiah was a captive in Babylon, and one of his brethren came and gave a report of how Jerusalem looked, the city of God. Let us turn to Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 1 and verse 3, they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass, when I heard these things, I sat down and wept, and mourned certain days, and fasted, and prayed before the God of heaven, and said, I beseech thee, O Lord, God of heaven, the great and terrible, that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments, let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night. For the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which they have sinned against thee, both I and my father's house have sinned. We have dealt very corruptly with thee, and have not kept the commandments nor the statutes which thou hast commanded thy servant Moses. Nehemiah was a cupbearer to the king, and the king noticed Nehemiah's sadness and asked him about it. Let's turn to chapter 2 and read at verse 3. And said unto the king, let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad when the city, the place of my father's sepulchres, lieth waste, and the wastes thereof are consumed with fire? Then said the king unto me, for what dost thou make request? So I prayed to the God of heaven. And I said unto the king, if it please the king, and if thy servant hath found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah, that the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may build it. Now, Nehemiah could have been content to have his position in the kingdom of Babylon, the luxury that he experienced there. But instead, he had a vision of the city of God being rebuilt. So Nehemiah went back and he rebuilt the wall of Jerusalem. He faced enemies. They tried to discourage him. They tried to undermine his work. But he had a dream. He had a vision. So those men worked, rebuilding the wall with their swords on their sides, clothed day and night, ready at any time to go to battle. Why? Because they had a vision of the city of God being rebuilt. How is our vision today of God's church, of his church? Is it dear to our heart? Is it something that we love more than the luxury we may be able to experience in this life? Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Does this describe us today? I'm thankful God still has a church like this today. And this is a description of his church. If we look out in the religious world, so many professing Christianity, playing religion, claiming to be Christians, but yet sinners saved by grace. What is your dream today? What is your vision of the church? Church of God, thou spotless virgin. Church of Christ, for whom he died. Thou hast known no human founder. Jesus bought thee for his bride. Sanctified by God the Father. Built by Jesus Christ the Son. Tempered by the Holy Spirit, like the holy. Three in one. There are folks that want to leave the church sometimes, or want to change the church. They want the church to follow the trends of the world. Is that your dream today? Is the world getting better, or is the world getting darker? I don't believe that we need to get together and assembly the leaders of the church and decide whether or not we're going to allow homosexual clergy. We do not need to pattern ourselves after this downward spiral of the world. I have a dream of a church that is without spot and blameless, that is so much better than that. We don't need to try to change the church. We need to change to meet God, to prepare to be like him, to get more distant from the world, not closer to the world. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for what purpose? For the perfecting of the saints. If there's any changing that needs to be done, we need to change to become more like Christ, closer to God, farther from the world. Not trying to understand how better we can fit into what the norms of the day are. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, until we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. What is your dream of the church today? Let's look at Acts chapter 4 and verse 29. Acts chapter 4 and verse 29. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. By stretching forth thine hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. Is this possible today? Can the Lord shake and move among us today? Is there anything of the new early morning church that we ought to fall short of because we live in perilous times, because the love of others is waxing cold. Is there anything that the Scripture says, this part of what those disciples had is not available to you today? If it's available to us today, let's examine ourselves. Let's search ourselves. How are we as a congregation, as a church, as a whole? How am I individually? Are we in the same place? It's a good time to examine ourselves today. When they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. But it may be considered hate speech. With boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of what? One heart and one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Do you have this vision today, this dream? I have a dream of a ministry that is like a basketball team. A united team working together where no one player is the great one. Where there are no big I's and little U's. Proverbs says, the locusts have no king, yet they go forth all of them by bands. All united together. I am thankful for the church of God. I am thankful for the ministry of God. 1 Timothy 5:21, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that thou observe these things without preferring one before another, doing nothing by partiality. I charge you. That means I protest earnestly that you do these things without preferring one before another. This is not the model that you see in the typical world out in the church today. You see a hierarchy of the great one and those that are below him and others below them. And then way down here at the bottom, you find the members of the congregation. I have a dream of something that is so much better than that. And I believe you do too. Isaiah 52:8 says, thy watchmen shall lift up the voice, and with the voice together they shall sing. For they shall see eye to eye when the Lord shall bring again Zion. A dream of a place where people are in unity in their vision, in their doctrine, in their spirit. Of a body of Christ that is one heart and one soul. Think of the power, the deliverances. One heart and one soul of the believers to me is like a well-oiled engine that is working together for a common cause with great power. No clanking, no out of balance. It is a beautiful image that is well within our reach. Ephesians 4:16, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. I have a dream of young people with a vision that are living holy lives in this dark world. With so much evil, accessible young people that are dedicated to God, that love God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, who have a call on their lives, a purpose, not just floating downstream with the world, not just waiting for the next party, but young people who are driven by a purpose, who have a mission and a goal in life. And I'm thankful we have young people like that. I tell you, my heart was touched yesterday seeing those young people Reach out to the homeless, to those that are so disadvantaged, opening up their hearts to those people. I have a dream of gospel workers, not just visiting foreign lands, but quitting the job, selling the house, and moving to foreign lands. It's wonderful to go on mission trips, but let me tell you, it's not that difficult to camp out for a week or two. But when you have left all, there is a need there for more workers. Do you have that dream today? Do you see a harvest that is white in this country, in countries overseas? Suicides are at a record high in this country, I believe. Drug use, drug addiction, homelessness, these things are at record highs. I have a dream of people wanting to go out and reach their hand out and giving those folks some hope. I have a dream of people visiting prisons, and thank God they do. We have those ministries going on. Of people preaching on the streets and on the college campuses, those cesspools of iniquity where unclean spirits are turned loose. And those young people are so desperately seeking for pleasures in this life and missing it. And being misguided by those college professors that are trying to turn their hearts from God. Of people who are full of the Holy Ghost and fire going on those campuses and sharing messages of hope. Not there tearing them up because of the wicked lives they're living, but saying, Jesus came to set you free. I have good news for you today. That thing you've been battling, that thing that has you in its clutches, you don't have to do that anymore. Did you know that pornography addiction is very much like cocaine addiction? You know that's why Jesus came. To set people free from their addictions, from their hatred, from their racial hatred. Jesus came to set people free. Oh, I want to see the message getting out to the world. I have a dream of young people who have become programmers to help with the web ministry. Oh, the opportunities there. Of young people who are learning foreign languages fluently. Oh, I wish I had it. But I tell you, it's more difficult at my age. I'm trying anyway. But young people, while you can hear the nuances of the pronunciation, while your memory is good, commit yourself to learning foreign language and be a blessing to the kingdom of God overseas. The song asks, what kind of a church would my church be if every member was just like me? Would it be a church that is preoccupied with the material things of this life, of our own comfort, our own dreams and ambition? Or would it be a church on fire? Would it be a congregation where people know if I step inside those doors, that is a spiritual church? There are people there that know how to pray and get a hold of God. If I need help, if I need deliverance, I can go there because there are some humble people of God that are willing to pray with me. They're willing to fast if that's what it takes. They love me. It's true that they have their faults and their differences and their disagreements, but they love one another enough to be able to lay some things aside and to have the unity of the Spirit. I'm attracted to that. I look out in the world and I see all the confusion and bickering. I want something better than that. You know where you need to go? Go down there to the Church of God congregation. Those people love each other. Those people can get a hold of God. No, they may not have a whole lot of money. They may not achieve a whole lot in this temporal world, but they love God. What kind of dream do you have for your own congregation? Then you go and be that. And be the fire that helps encourage others. People were walking by the Sea of Galilee one day. And they looked out and there were some boats on the sea and there were some fishermen in there. And they saw some unlearned fishermen. In fact, if they were listening close enough, they may have even heard Peter cursing because he hadn't gotten enough fish. Oh, those ignorant men. Jesus walked by. Jesus had a dream and he saw these men that would become the fishers of men. Jesus saw men that, yes, they were rough, they were ignorant, sinful, but after they were converted, would go out and revolutionize the world, would lay down their lives for the sake of the gospel. He looked at the very same people and saw something so different. People walked by the tax collector's booth one day and they saw a man that they despised. Jesus walked by and saw a collector of men's souls. You know, Jesus looks at us in a different way than the world does. Jesus looks at you and your failures and your sins, and he sees hope. Yes, he has a dream for your life this morning. He has something better than what you've been in. Life has been disappointing, hasn't it? Sin has left you empty, hasn't it? It's left you hungry. It's left you thirsty. Jesus has a dream for your life. That's so much better. There's no happier life. There's nothing more fulfilling, young people, than a life that is dedicated to God. Jesus' dream was that the kingdom come and that his will be done in earth as it is in heaven. What is it like in heaven? Do you suppose it's better than right here? We have some beautiful buildings in our cities. We have a lot of wealth. We have wonderful looking cars. Impressive. We have a lot of things in this earth, don't we? Do you suppose heaven's even better than this? Our beautiful earth, this paradise here, has been defiled. Heaven is not defiled by that. We used to live in Roatan, Honduras, a Caribbean island. A lot of people would have been jealous about that. You know what? A Caribbean island, you live there? Wow, I wish I could live there. And they called it a paradise. It was not a paradise. You know why? Because there was sin there. And there were mosquitoes and the humidity was too high. But it was not a paradise. Because sin was there. There were so many unsolved murders on that island. There were people who grew up never knowing their father. It was a plague on that island. Dysfunctional homes. Drug addictions. The drug war that took place on that island. Heaven is so much better than that. And Jesus' dream was that this earth would have the kingdom come into it to the extent that sin would be out of people's hearts. Is that your dream today? Philip found a man of God one day, Acts chapter 8 and verse 26. The angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he rose, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasure, had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near, join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And the place in the scripture where he read was this: he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away. Who shall declare his generation? For his life was taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came to a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. Philip did not say, wait until you come back to Jerusalem next year, and then more people will be around to see you being baptized. Philip did not say, wait, I think there's deeper water a little farther down the road, or water that's not quite so muddy as this. You really don't want to get muddy. No. The time was then. The time is now. What hinders us from our dream? From being on fire for God? For having great unity among the people, among the ministry? Souls being won to the Lord, converted, that we thought there would be no hope for that person. Of relationships being healed. Is there anything in your life that is keeping you from the dream that you have for your own life? That this morning you would like to just lay that down. What doth hinder me from being baptized? I want to be baptized right now. Yes. I don't want to wait till next year. Yes. Well, I'm asking you this morning, what better day is there for us to go back and rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, the city of God, to see captives delivered from those sins, from those addictions? What better day is there today for the brokenhearted to be healed? We're getting ready to start a new year. I want to ask you, how about a brand new sheet or page in your life? Clean. Wiped clean. No more guilt. No more addiction anymore. Instead, you're coming to prayer meeting and saying, thank God he set me free.
That's right. Yes.
How about a new start in life? What better time than right now? Than today? Today is the day. May God bless you.